Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're discussing, let's read the verse that's under discussion again, which denies that he has any material form in other aspects, but that establishes that he has different kind of form and so on. The verse is, Navidyate yasya chakar janma karma va na nama rupe guna dosha eva va tatapi lokapiyaya sambhavayaya swamayaya tanyanukalam richati. He has no birth or activity, nor no name or form, no qualities or faults. But for the creation and destruction of this world, he assumes all of these permanently by his own maya. Okay, now we're on 46.3. Similarly, there's a statement in the Kurma Purana about how he is lacking all these features, but he has transcendental equivalents of them. Aishwarya Yogad Bhagavan Virud Arto Bidiyate Tatapi Doshat Paname Naivar Harya Katanchana Guna Virudha Apitu Samaharya Shasarvataha. Kurma Purana says, the Supreme Lord is described in contradictory terms due to the influence of his divine opulences. All the same, faults should never be ascribed to the Supreme for any reason, while all good qualities, even those which are contrary to one another, can be perfectly reconciled in him. That's Kurma Purana. There's also statements of Shruti about this. Ayam atma patapapma ityadyak shrutiyascha. There are also such Shruti statements as, this self is untainted by sin. Okay, and a longer statement from Shruti. Etam samyadama ityachakshate etam sarvani vaman abhisamyanti esha eva vamani esha hi sarvani vamani nayati esha bhamani Esha sarveshu vedeshu bhakti ityadyacha. Statement, he is called the complete reservoir of qualities. Because all contrary things, vamati, contrary, left, contrary things, come together in him. Abhisamyanti, they come together. He is Vamani, the leader of the contrary. And he's Vamani, he's also Bhamani, Bhama, because he shines forth, Bhati, in all the Vedas. Those are both statements from the Chandogya Upanishad. Ata eva sarva ganda ityadau gandadi shabdena sau gandadi kam evo jyate. So all the faults are absent in him. All the good qualities, even though they seem contradictory, are found in him. Therefore, the word fragrance, smell, and so on, in the phrases all fragrances, indicate the possession of qualities like good fragrance. I think the idea has been lost in the translation. The idea is only good fragrances, not bad smells. It's not translated like that. Can I comment this? Because it was said that there was no bad qualities. So I think when it says we should take the word ganda, because ganda means a smell. It can mean a terrible smell, but here we want it to mean only good smells. Sauganda adikam. There's durganda also, but that's not found in the Supreme Lord. Yada tu vichati na anvayas tata gunasya dosha tvena rupakam avivakshitam. Shuti virudatvat Samarta Twainaiva Patipada Yishyamana Twat Cha. When, however, the word guna is connected with this verb he assumes. We read that in the previous verse, one of the previous verses, that he assumes these qualities. It is not meant to metaphorically refer to faults. He assumes qualities, but it doesn't mean that it metaphorically refers to faults. What does that mean? Since that would contradict the statements of Shruti, and since the qualities being referred to are purely spiritual, as we are about to prove. Why metaphorically? Rupakam. See, rupakam means a metaphor in poetry. But I don't understand what's metaphorical about it. Maybe it's not rupakam. Actually, two of the manuscripts have, instead of rupakam, they have nirupanam. Instead of dosha tvena rupakam, two of the manuscripts say dosha tve nirupanam is described as having faults. Because I'm not sure what rupaka or metaphor has to do with this. We're talking about the Supreme Lord being not said to have any faults. I don't see how that's a metaphor. Okay, I'll have to deal with that. Anyway, he doesn't have any faults. And when it says he has qualities, it doesn't mean he has bad qualities. He only has good ones. That would contradict a statement of Shruti. Shruti denies that he has anything bad about him, any imperfection. And also says that he has all transcendental good qualities. And we know those qualities are transcendental. They're spiritual, not material. From Shruti, we know that. So for those two reasons, Shruti denies he has any bad qualities, and also all the qualities he's said to have are purely spiritual. Therefore, he doesn't have any faults. Okay. Commentary. The Kurma Purana verse cited here gives assurance that contradictions in the personality of Godhead are only apparent. All his qualities are excellences, none of them faults. In the poetic language of the ancient Chandogya Upanishad, he is the reservoir of all excellences. In him are found all odors, but that does not include bad smells. The verse of the eighth canto under discussion in this anuchet, which I spoke again this morning at the beginning of the class, that verse lists pairs of qualities which are absent in the personality of Godhead, and then says that he assumes them. It makes no sense in the light of the axiomatic perfection of the Supreme Lord. It's taken as an assumption. The Supreme Lord is perfect. It makes no sense that he would assume qualities that are actually false, even temporarily assume. He shouldn't have anything to do with faulty qualities. He has no material gunas or doshas, but rather all spiritual perfections, among them some apparent faults, which are in fact virtues, just like he steals and he lies and does some other things, but those in him are virtues. Okay, here's a Purvapaksha. Nanu ikatrate sham janma dinam bhava bhava yor viroda ityashankya tad avirode hetum aha. The Purvapaksha is, but it is contradictory for these features of birth and so on to be both present and absent in the same reality. The objection is that's illogical. Both have and not have these features. Anticipating this objection, why there is no contradiction is explained in the words beginning swamayaya. Anyata nupapati pramita tustarkya swarupa shaktir eva tatrahe tuhu. The reason is, for this apparent contradiction, is his personal energy, Swarup Shakti, which is difficult to know by speculative logic, but can be inferred from the impossibility otherwise of the given facts. Anyata anupapati. Devadatta must be eating at night. The Supreme Lord has to have some special spiritual energies, because things are happening that can't happen otherwise. There's no other way to explain it. So we have to assume, even though we can't see it, and we can't understand it, we must assume there's got to be some Swarupa Shakti there to make these things happen. Apparently contradictory things. Ata eva Swarupa Bhuta Tvena Hebyak Prakrite Bhyo Vilakshana Tvat Tanyapi Vidyanta Iti Cha Vaktum Nashakyate Iti bhavaha. Because these features, all the features of the Lord, belong to his internal nature. And so are different from their material counterparts. The material qualities that are reflections of these spiritual qualities, they're not part of the Lord's swarupa. They're external. So therefore, the material counterparts cannot be said to also be present in him. Yata Shankara Sharirake Samakarshat Ityatra. We can understand this as Shankaracharya has described in his Vedanta Sutra commentary. On the sutra, Samakarshat, Brahman is known to be the cause by borrowing from adjacent statements. This is in some context. Some statement is being discussed. There's some question about whether how Brahman can be known as the cause. And the answer is, you have to go look at the statements before and after to get that to get the understanding that Brahman is the cause. Okay. That will be explained, I think, in the commentary. Yeah, okay. So wait for the commentary for the explanation of that. But Shankaracharya says something on that, commenting on that sutra. Nama rupa vyakrita vastu vishaya sat chabda prayena prasiddha iti tad vyakaran abhava pekshaya praganut patek sad eva brahma shutav asad iti upacharyate. Dukdam Tataiva Gyayam. So Shankaracharya says, the word existent is normally referred to an object which materially, with materially distinguished name and form. Sat usually refers to something that has a material name and form. Thus, because these material distinctions are absent in Brahman, the Shruti figuratively calls Brahman non-existent, asat, even though it existed even before the material creation. It's not literally true that Brahman doesn't exist. It existed before there was anything else existing in the material world. But it's not material. Brahman is not material. Therefore, it's asat, not a material creation, not a material existence. That's Shankaracharya's comment. Now, some explanation in the commentary. If the personality of Godhead is as perfect as the revealed scriptures claim him to be, he must be all perfect with no trace of fault. He cannot have both virtues and vices, as do less perfect persons like ourselves. He accommodates infinite qualities in himself, even those that seem opposite to one another, by the power of his creative energies. These energies, who serve his every desire, may be imperceptible to our limited faculties, but by the laws of logic, they must be assumed to exist, to explain what is known about him. If a bird can fly, it must have some special power that makes it possible. And if God is both equal to all and biased toward his devotees, that must be possible by some special power in him. Of course, the Supreme Truth is real, Sat. He exists without change before the material creation, during the creation, and after it. If that's not Sat, what is? His qualities are also all Sat, real. But he is sometimes poetically called unreal, asat. In the Upanishads, and the existence of qualities in him is denied to underscore that whatever he is and has is not material. Asad va idam agra asit tato vai sada jayata tadatmanam swayamakuruta. That's Taittiri Upanishad, second part. In the beginning there was only the non-existent. From it then evolved the existent. He created himself by himself. So now we understand what that means. He's non-existent because he's not a material existence. According to Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushana, according to his Govinda Bhashya on the Vedanta Sutras, the sutra cited here, Samakarshat, explains how the Shruti statement, in the beginning there was only Asat, the unreal, we just read that statement. The sutra, Samakarshat, explains, according to Vallabhadi Bhushan, how that statement refers nonetheless to the eternally existent Supreme, even if calling him the non-existent. In each context where the cause of creation is called asat, nearby statements describe the same cause as the personality of Godhead, omniscient and omnipotent, affecting the entire creation merely by his desire and contemplation. That doesn't sound like something that doesn't exist. If he's got all those such creative powers. And there is a statement a little bit before in the Taittiriya Upanishad, it was said, so kamayata ocham prajayeti satapo tapyata satapas taptva idam sarvam asvijata yaridam kincha tat svishtva tat evanu pravishat. He desired, let me become many, let me expand. He concentrated his thought inwardly, intensely, and by that concentration, he created everything of this world, everything that exists. And after creating it, he then entered it. So, it would be hard for a non-existent something to have a desire to perform severe concentration of the mind to then create the whole world and enter it. That would be hard if this was asat, non-existent. So asat must not mean literally non-existent. Same thing is being talked about in this statement and in the later statement about him being asat. Okay, continuing. Atta eva Shri Vishnu Purane Gunams Jadoshams Chamune Vyatitaha Ityuktva Punar Aha Samasta Kalyana Gunatmakohi. Therefore, Shri Vishnu Purana, after saying, O sage, he is beyond qualities and faults. And then right away it says, he comprises, after all auspicious qualities. Tata. Another statement from the Vishnu Purana. Gyana Shakti Balaishvarya Virya Teja Sheshataha Bhagavat Chabdavachyani Vinahe Yair Gunadibihi Iti. The term Bhagavan indicates complete knowledge, sensory strength, physical strength, controlling power, supernatural influence and radiant beauty, to the exclusion of all inferior qualities and other attributes. Padmottara Khanda cha, and in the Uttara Khanda of the Padma Purana, Yo sal niguna ityukta shastre shu jagadishvara prakritayar heya samyuktayar gunayar hinatvamuchyate. When the scriptures say that this Lord of the universe has no qualities, they are describing him as devoid of qualities which are material and undesirable. Okay, commentary. Looks like all these shastras agree on the same point. In Sri Vishnu Purana, Amsha 6th, the cantos of the Vishnu Purana are called Amshas. There are 6 of them. Chapter 5. Sage Parashar describes at length to Maitreya the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Lord that qualify him as a suitable refuge for everyone suffering the threefold miseries of material life. Sri Jiva Goswami has thoroughly analyzed most of this passage, which is texts 59 to 84 of that chapter of the Vishnu Purana. All of those verses have been analyzed in his Sarvasambhadani appendix to this Bhagavad Sandarbha. We didn't read that yet, did we? We went through all that, okay. Yeah, okay. I don't know if we did all of it, but we did a big chunk of it. Okay. Continuing. Na cha swamaya ya iti anyatartam mantavyam. Now, it said he created everything by his maya. That doesn't mean it's illusory. Nor should with his own maya be interpreted in some other way, as we hear from the following statements in Shruti. In other words, maya doesn't have to mean illusory. In Shruti we hear, Swarupa bhutaya nitya shaktya maya kyaya yutaha ato maya mayam vishnum pravadanti sanatanam. Unidentified Shruti here, which says, he is joined by his personal energy called Maya, who belongs to his inner self, Swarupa Bhuta. Therefore, he's called Lord Vishnu, the eternal possessor of Maya. Maya Mayam Vishnu. Okay, that doesn't mean he's illusory. Atma maya tad ichashat iti ma samhitata. In the Mahasamhita it is said, his personal maya is his desire, his atma maya. Atma maya is his own desire, the energy that fulfills those desires, internal energy. Maya vayunam gyanam iti niganto. In the Nigantu, it is said, that's the Vedic dictionary, the original Shruti glossary, it is said, Maya, Vayuna, and Jnana are synonyms. So Maya, wisdom and knowledge, they're all synonyms. Maya syat chambari budyo iti trikanda sheshat cha. And in the Trikanda Shesha dictionary, it is said, Maya means sorcery or intelligence. It doesn't have to mean illusion. It can mean illusion or it can mean intelligence. Magic is illusion. Sorcery, illusion. But another meaning is buddhi, intelligence. Sometimes means a mantra, but it also means wisdom. Narada Vakyat, and statement by Narada, who says, Vishuddha Vijnana Ganam Swasam Staya Samapta Sarvartam Amoga Vanchitam Swatejasa Nitya Nivritta Maya Guna Pravaham Bhagavantam Imahe. Let us approach you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for shelter. You are full in perfectly pure spiritual awareness and are always situated in your original identity. Since your will is never thwarted, you have already achieved all possible desirable things. And by the power of your spiritual energy, you remain eternally aloof from the flow of the qualities of illusion. Swasuka nibrita ityadi vaktri hridaya virodacha. Otherwise, if this wasn't all so, if the Supreme Lord didn't, he was having Maya means he has his creative energy. It doesn't mean illusory energy. Otherwise, moreover, the mood of the speaker of the Bhagavatam described in the words, although absorbed in his own happiness, would be contradicted. In other words, why would Shukadeva become interested in hearing about the Supreme Lord if he and what he manifests is Maya, is illusion? Shukadeva is not going to be interested in illusion. Swasuka Nibrita Cheta, this is a verse from the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam. Although he was fully immersed in the happiness of self-realization, he took the trouble to study the Bhagavatam, and he spoke it to Shukadeva. So there must be, it must not be full of Maya if he's interested in it. Tatak sarvata chit chaktya yetyartaha. Thus, looking at it from all sides, the meaning of with its own Maya is with this spiritual energy. Maya's got to be energy, but if it's not material energy, then it's spiritual energy. Atat swami bir api yoga maya shabdena chit chaktir vyakyata. And so Sridhar Swami has explained it, explained with the word yoga maya as indicating the spiritual energy. Wait a minute. Okay. When Sridhar Swami commented on that verse from the Vishnu Purana that said that Mayaya Yuta, he's connected with his Maya, Sridhar Swami glossed that as Yoga Maya to indicate that it's spiritual Maya. Okay, commentary. In the verse under discussion, the great Vaishnava Gajendra praises his Lord by stating that the Lord assumes his birth, activities, names, forms, and qualities by his own Maya. Swamayaya. Richiti, Anukalam Richiti. He assumes them Anukalam, at particular times or all the time. Only by ignoring the context and the intention of the devotee who offered this prayer could someone misunderstand Swamayaya as referring to the material energy of illusion. The Vedas and subsequent scriptures take care to explain that Maya is also a name of the Lord's spiritual energy. As the Chaturveka Shikha affirms, the Supreme Lord is eternal and his personal energies are eternally connected with him. How then could the name Maya Vishnu, mean that he is a material creation? But the Mayavadis, that's why we call them Mayavadis, because they literally think the Lord is a product of Maya. They actually say that. Actually, the personality of Godhead's energies are manifold, some serving him in the spiritual realm and some in the material. Thus, Maya can be either internal or external. Atma Maya, his internal potency, serves his desires in pure love along with the pure devotees of the Lord who are her servants. Mahamaya is his potency for regulating the material existence, and she controls rebellious souls primarily by imposing on them varieties of illusion. The Shabda Mahodari, for one, names three kinds of Maya. The Maya of the three modes of nature, who is the material Mahamaya. Maya as another name for awareness or knowledge, Vayunam. And the energy of Vishnu, who is his internal Maya. The ancient Nirgunta glossary also identifies Maya as a general term synonymous with Jnana. So it's not Jiva Goswami's twisting an interpretation. It can be found in ancient scriptures, the same idea, that Maya can also mean the spiritual energy. And the Trikanda Shesha dictionary confirms this and also adds another meaning, magic, Shambhara. The spiritual and material Mayas are both irrepressible in their mysterious influences. The influence of the superior Maya, however, is always joyful and liberating, and that of the inferior always painful and restrictive. Narada, in the prayer cited, describes the Supreme Lord as full in pure knowledge and possessed of all desirable assets, and then says that the material qualities of Maya can never affect him. Therefore, we can conclude he must have all different kinds of Maya to provide the fulfillment of his many desires. Then he's full of Maya. He's got all different energies to serve him. Maya. Only if he had no intentions to fulfill would there be no need for his having personal energies to serve him. So he doesn't have any material ambitions, but he's got spiritual desires, and he has spiritual energies to fulfill those desires. Even the determined impersonalist Shankaracharya was conquered by the unlimited desires of the personality of Godhead, manifesting in his pastimes with his devotees. I'm sorry, did I say Shankaracharya? No, Shukadev was conquered by the Lord's personal qualities. Shukadev. And to broadcast the glories of these sports of the Lord for gratifying his desires and those of his companions, Shukadev spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to glorify the Lord's fulfillment of his desires. And it's said about Shukadev, Swasukha Nibrita Chetas Tadvyadastanya Bhavo Piyajita Ruchira Lila Krishta Sarastadiyam Vyatanuta Kripayas Tatvadipam Puranam Tamati la vrijinatnam vyasa sunam sunum natosmi. That's in the second to last chapter of the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master. That's Suta Goswami speaking. My spiritual master, the son of Vyasadev, Shukadeva Goswami. It is he who defeats all inauspicious things within this universe. Although in the beginning he was absorbed in the happiness of Brahman, realization, and was living in a secluded place, giving up all other types of consciousness, he became attracted by the pleasing, most melodious pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna. He therefore mercifully spoke this supreme Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the bright light of the absolute truth and which describes the activities of the Lord. Tattva Deepam. If the qualities and activities of Krishna were illusory, the discriminating transcendentalist Shukadev would have never become attracted to them. Jiva Goswami thinks this is important. It needs to be discussed completely, and therefore he's giving a lot of commentary on this idea. Nanu prapnoti ityukte kadachikatvam api avagamyate. But, Purvapaksha, but from the words he obtains, prapnoti. Where is the word prapnoti? Where? Okay, maybe I think Sridhar Swami glossed that as prapnoti. He obtains his qualities. So from the words he obtains, we can deduce that this is temporary, these qualities. Assuming these qualities must be temporary. This objection is answered by saying anukalam. Anukalam nityam eva prapnoti. That's why I translated it as eternally, because Jiva Goswami here says anukalam means nityam. Eva prapnoti kadachid api na chyajati dhyartaha. Anukalam tells us that he obtains his birth and so on all the time, eternally. In other words, he never gives them up. Swarupa shakti prakashitvasya nityatvasya chamito hetu hetu muta gyeya. The two facts of his qualities being manifested by his personal energy and their being eternal can be understood as mutual grounds for inferring one another. You can use one of those facts to prove the other, either way. Because he's eternal, his qualities are eternal, therefore they are manifestations of his personal energy. If you know they're eternal, then you know that they belong to his Shakti. Otherwise, if you know that they're, if you're told and you're sure that his qualities are part of his Swarup Shakti, then you can reason the other way that they must be eternal. Okay, another Purvapaksha. Nanu, katam janma karmanur nityatvam, tehi kriye, priyatvam cha prati nijamsham apyarambana parisamaptabhyam, samaptibhyam, eva siddhyati, iti tevina surupahan apatihi. So the Purvapaksha asks, but how can birth and activity be eternal? These are both actions, and an action can occur only by the beginning and completion of every one of its phases. If you're going to cook rice, you got to put rice in the pot, add some water, turn the fire on, stir it, let it sit for 20 minutes, and then you have cooked rice. But if you don't put the rice in the pot, or you don't put any water in, or you leave out any of the steps, it doesn't happen. So any activity requires the carrying out of every one of its steps. has to be have a beginning and it has to have a completion, and each phase has to be completed. Without these beginnings and completions, the very essence of what it is to be an action is spoiled. It's not an action unless it has steps that actually occur. Every action is a process. If something is not doesn't have to go through steps, then you don't use a verb to describe it, you use a noun. If we're describing the table as a given thing that's not changing, we call it table, a noun. If it's a process of becoming a table, then we can use, you know, the table formation, the process of a table coming into being, because it goes through steps. But if something is just the same and doesn't go through phases, we use a noun rather than a verb to describe it. But an action, as described by a verb, is a process that has to go through several steps, phases. Okay, but how can you have such changes in the Supreme Brahman? Not supposed to have changes. He doesn't go through phases. So therefore, birth and activities, how can they occur in him? These are activities that involve change. Naisha dosha, here's the answer. Naisha doshaha. Shri Bhagavati sadaiv akar anantyat. Prakash anantyat. No, a prakash anantyat. That doesn't sound right. Anantya. Anantya. Anantya, okay. Yeah, that's a word. Infinity. Anantium. So sadaiv akar anantyat. Prakash anantyat. Janma karma lakshana lila anantyat. Ananta prapancha ananta vaikunta gata tadta lila stana tadta lila parikanam vyakti prakasha yor anantyat cha. So, because of all these infinities, it's no fault for the Lord to seem to be going to be performing activities which are supposed to be involve change. Okay. This fault, however, does not affect the personality of Godhead, the fault of an activity involving change and going through phases. Why? Because he has unlimited forms, unlimited appearances, unlimited pastimes of birth and activity, unlimited different places and participants of those various pastimes, and unlimited appearances of those places and pastimes in unlimited material creations and unlimited Vaikunthas. Okay, an activity means appearing in various different phases. But he has all these different phases, unlimited forms and activities and postures. They're all eternally present in him. So he doesn't have to temporarily go through phases. All the phases are in him all the time. So he can manifest all activities without undergoing any change. He is what he is, but what he is everything. Okay, what does the commentary say? The word anukalam in Sri Gajendra's prayer would normally be understood as meaning at particular times, anukalam. That's the normal meaning. But Srila Jiva Goswami here chooses to interpret this differently. The Supreme Lord does appear at various times and places in this world, in his avatars, performing all sorts of activities during these appearances. It is a superficial judgment, however, that can conclude that therefore his birth and activities are restricted in time and space. He appears in time and space in different ways. It doesn't mean he's restricted by time and space. Restricted as the activities of finite creatures are restricted. Beneath the surface appearance of temporality, his leelas go on perpetually. Simultaneously in a place of his invisible pastimes like the Vraja Dham. So in his eternal abode, they're all going on eternally, all the different phases of his leelas. And in the material world, by turns in the locations of his scheduled visible pastimes in one universe after another. everything is happening somewhere in some universe, in the material world. All of Krishna's leelas are happening somewhere at any given time. So all the phases of his activities are eternal, even in the material world. Thus, even though by the axioms of metaphysics, actions must progress through phases, each one having a beginning and an end, the perpetual leelas of the Supreme Lord also comply with this requirement. Every step of every single thing he does is always starting somewhere and ending somewhere. Always. His appearances and activities are unlimited in several ways. He has an infinite number of forms, each of which can appear at any number of times in any number of spiritual and material worlds, displaying any number of different pastimes with any number of participating devotees. The word hetu means cause in either of two senses, karaka hetu, the cause that makes something happen, or gyapaka hetu, the reason by which we know something to be true. That the Supreme Lord's birth and activities are exhibited by his internal potency and that they have no beginning or end are eternal facts, causeless, not needing any karaka hetu. There's nothing that makes them happen. They're always going on. A cause exists previous to the result. If something's eternal, it doesn't need a cause. It can't have a cause. Nothing can exist before it, so it can't have a cause, even if it wants one. Something that's eternal. Something that's eternal can't have a cause. But we can say that there are mutual gyapaka hetus, the eternality and the fact of being manifested from internal potency of the act, of everything about the Lord. We can deduce, if we are aware of either, we can deduce the other. They're gyapaka hetus of each other. Okay, that's enough for today. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Kavya class will be on Thursday and Friday, not today. Whatever you want. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.